I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Monday. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Portman behind the glass taking care of us. We are live from the First United Bank Studio, Red Raider Baseball, as Stanford has come into town for a two-game set. We will give tickets out sporadically today. And I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. Now, it is not for tonight's game. Again, two-game set against Stanford. We have a couple pairs of tickets. We'll go ahead and give away the first one now. First one to call in and give Ben a compliment on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973.
What time is that game tomorrow?
And that game is at 12 o'clock tomorrow. Two tickets to tomorrow's game against Stanford. Hopefully you'll be looking for a back-to-back wins
call
against
in.
Stanford.
Yep. Call in and number. Tell Ben how cute he is. Noon first pitch tomorrow.
Or how
hot dogs at the ballpark.
Yeah, uh-huh. Or how mountainous he is.
There it is. Boom.
There we go.
Phone rings.
All right.
Nice.
You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, how your weekend was. It was a holiday weekend. Hopefully everybody was great. Take us anywhere with the mobile app. That is brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We have baseball to get into. We have transfer news to get into. We've got stuff going on tonight. Lots to dive into here on a Monday. But for that, Gus, how was your weekend?
What up, big boy?
Do you have a good one?
Yeah, I think I spent more time in the yard again.
Oh, augers? Did you win another one?
No, auger was involved.
Your forearms
no.
Ready to fall off again?
No, but my feet hurt probably more than last week. Dang. And it really just had more to do with any time you mention mow the alley. Like, okay, here we go. Yeah. You're gonna mow the alley, okay? Sack lunch.
Now, do you mow the alley every time you mow, or
is it
a jungle back there?
No, it's a jungle.
Like the old 1-8.
Uncultivated. It's like a 1970s Playboy. I mean, it's just
forestry.
Forestry, just shrubbery everywhere. Yes,
the wildlife
weeds.
Here.
Yes,
If there's an invasive species, it's in Lubbock's alley, or in Gus's alley.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that thing, and then just a little side yard. I had a patch of weeds that just, I knew because I hadn't been over there yet either. And I walked around there on Saturday and went, oh, yep. Yeah, some knee highs. And there's just enough, you know, just enough moisture involved so that mowing wasn't easy mowing, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I found that out when weeds. I did my little 12x12 weed eating of the backyard. I was like, woo, put in a tough one today to get this grass shorter.
Yeah. It was just that, but it's all good. We did our thing. It really was a lot of just kind of spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning.
Yeah, because, you know, just hadn't touched it yet, some of that stuff. And getting a window open on Saturday was nice. Fresh air in the house, taking some rugs out and popping those and getting just spring stuff. We were all over the yard, all over the backyard mostly, which is why it was a brawl.
It feels like, you know, true deep dive spring cleaning where it's not just cleaning, but you're on the same day, same weekend, however you do it. Maybe it's a week. Like, you're doing the actual cleaning side. You're doing yard work. You're doing any little thing you've stored up that you've needed to tweak in the house. You're going through stuff you might need to get rid of. Like, that full dose, what I think of spring cleaning, we do once every 2 years. We kind of alternate.
Sure. Yeah.
Thankfully, we're on an off year, as far as I know. Now that I say that, you know, maybe something will change next week. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
And right now we got Savannah still at the house, and so we've got a lot of her stuff that's she's sort of in between, and so this isn't a great time to go, let's go through the garage, because most of it's just her, you know, her stuff.
Well, that's the best time. Hey, while you're here, why don't you go through it? Right. You, hey, yes or no? Here we go.
It's actual stuff like
pass
she had.
Pass or keep?
Yeah, it's actual stuff she had in Midland last fall, you know, and so it's real clothes and stuff, but like the dresser she didn't need in her room that went with her to Midland that can just stay out in the garage for a while. So this isn't the time to start tearing through the garage, but it was definitely a time to pull weeds and mow and water all the things and just, you know, it was good though. And we just put both days just put ball games on, and it was Tech game Saturday afternoon. It was Rangers game yesterday afternoon, and you know, just or Astros both, a little bit of both, and this work. It was good.
Pretty solid start to the year for the old Rangers, looking to repeat this year. Not so much for the Astros.
At least one
person in this building was thrilled with the results, and as he walked by in his little New York Yankees tennis polo, that was. It's like he heard us talking about the Yankees. He just popped
good.
Up. Jamie's a Yankees genie.
Especially good for them to go on the road and do that and take four. Parker Machinsky got a disaster of an outing on Friday. And then on Saturday came in. And the good news is they came right back to him. Mm-hmm. And he went out there and threw a scoreless inning. And the Red Raiders over the weekend had their 36th, I believe, big leaguer because Clayton Beter got in, threw three pitches, and got three outs. How about that?
Yeah.
The last, I guess it was the last Yankee to three pitch, three out debut was Mariano Rivera. I think that was the tweet I saw. So no pressure. Just set up your Hall of Fame
that's
career.
That's great. Yeah, just go ahead and put names like that.
Hey, Clayton. Good news, bad news. Going to need about 600 more saves out of you.
But you're
handful of rings.
But you're on pace already.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, just keep up with that pace.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is the juice. You got Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Thank you for joining us here on a Monday edition. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman taking care of us behind the glass. We'll start with what happened this weekend. And two series were lost against UCF. We'll go on the softball side and very different types of games between the two sports. As you saw, a lot more offense with the softball realm. Now, Tech does get a win on Saturday to win the series finale 5-4. Kaylee Wyckoff had a three-run shot in the second inning. That was a big supplier in this one. They did lose the day before 9-12 and the opener 5-8. That moves their conference record to 3-6, 22-10 overall. They will go from this series against UCF to a Wednesday game against Abilene Christian, and that is at Abilene, Wednesday, 5 o'clock first pitch, and then after that, it's a road trip to Baylor, three-game set there against the Bears. Speaking of baseball, they also won their series finale in a series loss to UCF. They would win on Saturday 3-2. Boy, just close game. This entire series really hard fought. The Knights do get 2 of 3. Of course, we talked about them winning that hit by pitch on Thursday. We were still here. And then on Friday, they lose 2-1 and then get yesterday's game 3-2. No rest for the weary. Jump right back into action tonight at home. You can hear it on Double T 97.3 as the Red Raiders start a two-game set against the Stanford Cardinal. Jeff Haxton and Jamie Lint on the call. Tomorrow's game, 12 o'clock first pitch. Coverage will start on Double T 97.3 and 100.7 The Score at 11:30. Red Raider track and field wrapped up the Texas relays this weekend, and a great, great start, I would say, to the season for a lot of athletes who haven't got going just yet. The women's 4x1 claimed the first event for Texas Tech, winning that. After that, Timotope Adesina opened her outdoor season by winning the Section A high jump. Antoine Andrews won the 110 meter hurdles. And let's see, in the women's 100 meter final, Colbert, who was in the 4x1, she added another title along with that 4x1 win. Edward Rush took the men's mile, and the women's triple jump saw Ruta Lasmain in her outdoor debut of the season win that event. So six different things won by Texas Tech track and field at a pretty big deal over there at the Texas Relays. Up next for them, they'll send some throwers to the West Texas A&M Joe Meeker Classic. Houston Astros were swept by the New York Yankees in four games, losing 5-4, 7-1, 5-3, and 4-3. They'll now start a three-game homestand against the Blue Jays. You can hear that tonight following the high school fan zone on 100.7 The Score. You'll hear coverage join in at 7:30. The high school fan zone, speaking of which, hosted by Garrett Luft here in the First United Bank studio, will start at 6 o'clock. Coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey will be here in the First United Bank studio with them, breaking down their season. So make sure to catch that if you're looking for any of those LISD schools tonight. On the other side, the Texas Rangers went 2-1 in their opening weekend. They did lose yesterday 9-5. They'll start a road series three-game set against Tampa Bay tonight. First pitch is at 5:50. You won't hear, of course, that game tonight with Red Raider Baseball, but you can hear game two tomorrow with coverage starting at 5:15 on Double T 97.3. The Final Four has been set. UConn continued their dominant run, a 30-0 run that started from the end of the second half. I think it was 28-23 at the half, and that 23 sat on the Illinois side for a long, long time. They went like 50 minutes without scoring. UConn wins at 77-52, dominant there. They will play Alabama, a much better game here. Alabama's been in through some tough games in this. That's been really impressive. They beat Clemson, who I don't think very many people expected to be in the Elite Eight, and outlasted them, winning 89-82. So it'll be Alabama and UConn on one side. On the other side, Purdue as a one seed. They beat Tennessee 72-66, and Edie had 40 points, I think 16 rebounds. Tennessee, their star Dalton Knecht, had 37 points. Both of them really balled out, but Purdue beats them. And you go, okay, well, Purdue can't lose this year to a double-digit seed. Au contraire, Gus. As everyone predicted, your first opponent, North Carolina State, beat Duke 76-64, and the Wolfpack keep rolling. So there's your Final Four, UConn, Alabama, North Carolina State, Purdue. Wowzers.
Here we go.
Here we go. That, I can't wait for that DJ Burns-Zach Edey matchup. That could break the court. It's incredible. And last but not least, news over the weekend. Pop Isaacs has officially entered the transfer portal, so that makes him and Robert Jennings so far off of this year's roster. We have a question on the H. Flooring Center chat line we'll get to in a little while about Pop Isaacs. But you've seen now Dave Smart, coach, he'll go to Pacific. And this is just full changes. You know, good luck to him over there as he got the head coaching job. That's a rapid rise from, you know, coming down from Carleton University in Canada here to the Texas Tech staff. Great, successful year one. Of course, already a lot of skins on the wall for him. He goes to Pacific. Robert Jennings had entered right around the same time, and now over the weekend, Pop Isaacs has entered. And so far, those are the changes. Were you surprised by the Pop Isaacs news?
Not really.
Yeah.
I just wasn't, you know, this is a better way to really answer that question is to, you know, figure out what I was saying last week before it was a fact, but it just felt like we weren't done with that because, mm-hmm. you know, he had put some stuff out there saying, that we would
expecting to be back in Lubbock, and that was directly after the season's over and directly after you lose.
I would also tell you probably didn't have probably hadn't had exit meetings and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, which is a conversation that I want to get to, and when we can start a full segment with it and get into it. And that is your headlines here, round one. Hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Use chemicals in the alley.
Yep.
I have to mow it. Any Big 12 teams left in the tourney? I wouldn't say I just felt horrible for Houston. But man, if you were rooting for, like, if you were a Houston fan, that's gonna be gut wrenching to watch. Speaking of Duke in that Sweet 16 matchup, because everybody has to deal with injuries in some way. But you put in the timing of it, and then specifically who it was with Jamal Shedd. I mean, it just felt like I honestly thought when he went out, I thought Duke was going to end up blowing out Houston. And, you know, here's a nice thing about having depth like they did,
right,
even with their absolute stud, best player, Big 12 player of the year going out, is you can still rely on defense. But, man, it was like it felt inevitable. And they made it a game, and they had a chance at the end. But it felt like inevitable that Houston was going to lose that game. And then, yep, Big 12 Dunskies.
Yep.
We'll get to that Pop Isaacs question on the other side and talk a little bit about that transfer portal entry. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Back with more next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
That's right, Gus, rocking the signature stag today.
Sir.
Looking sharp as ever. Here I am, just in my double t-shirt. I could have looked even sharper. I could have been on the line. I could have been on the line.
Savage.
Yeah. Yep, just a grunt over here. It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman, behind the glass, taking care of us. So, as I was teasing a little while ago, Pop Isaacs goes into the transfer portal, and I was with you. And by the way, this is the question I wanted to respond to. Why do you think Pop is leaving, honestly? So what you kind of touched on is something that I think is important to remember with this, because, you know, he does the, you know, I expect to be in Lubbock, whatever quote, directly after you lose a game. And what you haven't gone through is your, as you called it, the exit meeting, but your postseason talk, strategy meeting with the players for next year, and you also immediately dive into just how quickly the portal is open, which I think is crazy, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it was Brad Underwood for Illinois who was talking about it.
Absolutely.
And was like, he's right, because it is a mess. You got teams right now that are still playing, and now it's a very small percentage, but still, go into that, just to the Sweet 16 round, right? You got 16 teams that are playing, and you got coaches that are still trying to keep up with, you know, hey, I'm game planning, I'm trying to make it to the Elite Eight, and in a couple of days, if I win, I'm going to be trying to make a Final Four. I'm trying to stay in touch with coaches that are working on recruiting and looking at all of these players as soon as they lose, entering the transfer portal. And I have no issue with the players doing this that are wanting to leave. I have no issue with the coaches, because you have to play the game, right? You can't just sit around if you know whether you're a good team or a bad team, what you're losing and what you're going to want to do differently, all of this stuff that goes into it. The issue is when the window is open. But when Pop Isaacs says that quote, right, he hasn't had a chance to maybe sit down with Grant McCaslin and talk about, hey, this is what we're going to do differently. Maybe, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but this is a conversation that has happened with other players since the portal's been open. Like, hey, for you, Pop Isaacs, you're a volume shooter, right? We maybe want to bump that down for you. And if that doesn't jive, then maybe this won't be the school for you, opportunity for you. Or it could have been, as something like, hey, I think I can go get more NIL somewhere else. Or, hey, I think there's a better fit for me, something like that. You don't really know fully what that is going to be like. And that's where to, like, why do you think Pop is leaving? I think maybe, like, if I put, again, my guess on it, completely out of the situation, I would venture to guess with he would want to stay with the amount of shots he was able to take this year, which, by the way, sometimes hurt you, sometimes won you games. I would think that Coach McCaslin wants to knock that percentage down a little bit and fine-tune it. And maybe this, and then, so that's the first thing I said, maybe this isn't the situation next year. If it's changing, you're trying to fine-tune some of those things that he necessarily wants to be a part of. But again, to actually know, you don't know that unless you're in the head of the kid, in the head of the athlete.
Yeah, and we may never really know. For it to have happened, you know, I would say that quickly, it probably was a direct result of a conversation, you know, between the two. I don't think this was filled mm-hmm. with gossip or anything. I think just based on what we know about Coach McCaslin and what he talked about last fall, when you know if you got to hear him talk, he would talk about player meetings and mm-hmm. you know, very, very much you know, conversational, direct, even so much as inviting. I don't want to just have a player meeting with you. We'll do that. Like yeah. when he first got here, but then it was like, hey, I want your whole camp here.
Yeah.
I want all the people that are in your ear here so that we can all get to know each other. Mm-hmm. And because you 100% know that the reality is there's a lot of voices.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One of our guys that left here notoriously, you know, hit someone in his camp said, I need 18 shots a game. Mm-hmm. He's not here anymore.
And they play told here. Him that's probably not going to happen.
That's exactly yeah. it. And that way, it's all up front. And he got to move on elsewhere and probably no hard feelings. And so, you know, Pop will be sought after. I thought there was so much more toughness to his game this year. And when I say toughness, I mean, like, the things that he did last year, and again, this is just my opinion from the baseball field, mm-hmm. but I did watch the games, but just there were times that he would go in the lane and throw it up and cry about a foul and all that stuff. This year, he would go to the lane and either get buckets to win games or get fouled and you know, get to the line, which for him as a very good free throw shooter met points. I thought he was at his best. He was very good, and I think his, you know, his phone's ringing right now. Guarantee you.
Oh yeah.
Guarantee you. There's and I guarantee you he's going to end up playing somewhere that's, you know, in a competitive situation. Now, will mm-hmm. he want to get closer home, West Coast, dad's sick, all that? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, I really couldn't even begin to know. And, you know, the Jennings situation, that, you know, that one's probably got some different dynamics in terms of him. He could have been told, hey, your role's not going to change a whole lot. You know, we're trying to bring in the kind of players that are better than you. And so your situation, mm-hmm. you know, and I would hope for that. You know, he got as much playing time as he did because of the Cambridge injury, because mm-hmm. of the Warren Washington situation, his injury, you know, that stuff.
His one that, like, we didn't really throw him out because we kind of answered this question going out to the weekend of who we could see going in the portal, right? But Gus, to me, it was like he was one that felt like he could be on the fence, because you would love, especially with the strides you saw the final few weeks, strides he took to take that into next year and then get even better. But at the same time, like you're saying, you know what you're going after in the portal for the most part. You know you're going trying to go after and find some experienced size, which, again, easier said than done. And those guys just don't grow on trees. And by the way, also, it's not like just one guy you're looking for. Like, you're looking for pieces of size, but it helps with Cambridge coming back, right? Like, mm-hmm. and again, he's not the center, but he is adding size everywhere. And a versatile defender, a good rebounder, which obviously you sorely missed throughout the season. So Jennings one was like not surprising. you know, I was disappointed to see him put his name in the portal, but at the same time, understanding. It kind of felt like how I felt about Dylan Carter for baseball. It's like, well, yeah, you get it. For me, you know, like, wish him the best. Would have loved to have seen him stay, because at the same time, you need depth with the size, as you saw this year. But, you know, whatever that conversation was like. And the other side of this, too, is I think a better way to look at it is not like, hey, what is the reason someone's leaving? There's multiple reasons. There's probably a headlining reason, and one if you're going and breaking it down on a pie chart that has, as Jerry would say, the biggest piece of pie. But it's not like it's always going to be, and I would say more times than not, there's not just like one reason. This is the only reason he's entering the portal. But for Pop, and I've still got some more thoughts on him that we'll get to throughout the program. Now you do have to go into the replacement side. And there's a lot of points coming there. Back in time when we returned, Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Still bothers Gus when he hears it. It's just kind of... What makes you angrier? Someone betting on WWE or saying batting percentage? What makes you want to give a chair shot to that person more?
My problem, dude.
It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, Double T97.3.com. It is time for a play of the day.
Crosses over, leaning in, got to force it up, underhand, and he hit it! Oh, my goodness! Are you kidding me? What is going on here tonight?
That was a step in from the three-point line. He hit an underhanded shot.
I have no comment except Chuck Cooperstein makes that call 10 times better.
That was incredible. I can't remember now. Did he stepped over the three-point? Not that it makes it any less impressive if it was three ridiculous. Or two, but he stepped well over the three-point line. Right, I remember.
It was like a line extended
underhand.
It's ridiculous.
It was a it was
like a finger roll layup, except he shoots from 22 feet.
You know, okay, so. If you've ever, you know, played on a basketball team of any level, you have probably had a coach, when you're goofing off, say this, or like, hey, you're going to shoot that shot in a game? Then don't practice it. Luka can get away with whatever he wants. God. Like, Luka Doncic can do...
As if he needed any help.
Yes, anything that he wants, because he can do it in a game. Like, that is every little kid on the playground's dream, hearing that, like, are you going to be doing that hook shot from 40 feet out? No, then why are you practicing it? Because it's fun. I don't know. By the way, Mavs winners of 7 in a row and 11 of their last 12. Pretty good stretch there as playoffs are looming. Thank you, Ben. All right, Red Raider baseball playing Stanford tonight, and you wanted to round your thoughts out on the RPI discussion as we... we're exiting the last segment talking about, hey, I mean, it does not look good for the Big 12 and entries into the NCAA tournament. For whatever it's worth, RPI of your opponent tonight, by the way, not great, Bob, 183 for the old Cardinal. For you, you come in 77 there on the old RPI, but I was going to let you round out your thoughts on that.
Yeah, The question was asked, how many would get in at this point? It's a clear, probably five teams that would get in. Like, I would say it's a five team league. UCF 5, 17, K State, OU 23. That's remarkable to me, because I would have thought there was a little more downward trajectory to getting swept at home by Lamar, but apparently not. And they may have been in a lot better position. It's April, so like you can finally start checking the RPI and getting a little meaning out of it.
You're at the halfway point. I mean, for you on your
exactly.
You're right at halfway.
28 OSU, 30 TCU, and then the gap widens down to 59, 61, and we're in there at 77. The only ones below us are three opponents, all of who took series from us: Texas, BYU, Baylor. And so there's the problem. Well, there's the problem. I'm not. This is no. this is no criticism or whatever. This is just stating facts. Like the math of where this team is right now is problematic because of all the things I just said. What's left, you know, who's helping us right now? Nebraska. They've got the 11th best RPI in the country, and that's a win. Oregon's RPI, they're about number 60, so they're kind of down there with us, and that's a win for us. And at least in terms of non-conference. And by the way, I would also say this, and this is a problematic point, but take New Mexico out of it, but who would have thought at the time that the high point of our season away from home were the Oregon and Nebraska wins, because that's exactly what it is. You know, the New Mexico is just not good enough to really put a lot of teeth into that. It's always nice to go over there and get a win. Again, not something you've done since you last played in a College World Series. don't poo-poo that, because some good teams have gone over there and gotten kicked. But I mean, that's, you know, and I'm also taking out sort of the individual win over UCF, you know, because I guess in the purest of terms, that's the most valuable win we've got, because it's over what is now the number five team in the country. But it doesn't represent a series win.
Yeah, standalone, it's your best.
Once you start getting to,
when you look at the entire series, especially when you look at just the disappointment side of what you felt like you left on the table going into game one and how you lost that one. I mean, you could point to several different things of how you lose game two in another one-run game. But as a standalone, I mean, it's on that list of better wins.
Sure. And we've had some questions just about the team and kind of where they're, you know, what's going on with the team. By the way, Caleb Dean's throwing off the first pitch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Put him on a list with like Cheryl Swoops and Divine Odaduru as most important athletes on national championship teams, because he won two races, right? And he was the one that won two.
Yes.
Yeah. Put him on a list and get his little spot ready in the Texas Tech Athletic Hall of Fame and all that. And cheer loud tonight when some guy walks out there and you're like, who's this guy? One of the greatest athletes in school history is who that guy is. So cheer loud. The Tech team is let me do this. We've had a bunch of questions, and I've heard this a bunch over the last week. Like, does Tadlock not like small ball? You know, and you know, we can pick through the exact definitions of small ball, because what does everyone mean by small ball? I would interpret it as probably stolen bases, one, maybe sack bunts. Well, Tim hasn't sack bunted. I bet he hadn't tried double-digit sack bunts in the last 10 years. You know, and for that matter, like, it was us and TCU notoriously that, you know, Schlossnagel and Tadlock just never bunted. Now, I'm not saying they don't bunt for a base hit, you know, and that's different, but just squaring around and dumping a bunt and giving away an out, those two guys never did that, and it was, you know, it was all through the late teens, certainly when both teams were blowing and going, that stat would get thrown up there, and you know, Tech would have three sacrifices and TCU would have two, and here they were, you know, playing Omaha or whatever. So he's never sacrificed, probably not going to spend a whole lot of time with that. I looked up stolen base numbers because that's where I would define this, and John Harris and I were on the call last week when we got thrown out stealing for the first time all year. It was like 28 for 28. But B, one of those stolen bases represented more stolen bases for this team this year at this point, which was a few games short of the halfway part, than all of last year. Now, I also like to take Big 12 statistics and carve them out, because a lot of people are doing this right now to go, well, you take Texas Southern and Gardner Webb out,
right?
Blah, blah, blah.
Your offensive numbers are skewed.
Yeah, I'll say this: if you go to just Big 12 stats and take out the very, so basically the last 11 Big 12 games, all but the first bludgeoning at the hands of Texas, team ERA 3.76, which that shocked me, because because, you know, and the point is the pitching over the last 11 Big 12 games, all but that first bludgeoning, has given us a pretty good chance. And you think about the fact that what Jamie just said on the show before me, 2 for 37 with runners in scoring position in these six Big 12 road games. One of those, a base hit in which our base runner running from second falls down around third base, has to go back to third, strikeout, double play to end the inning, don't even score the run. So it's a mess. Good. That part's a mess.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass, taking care of us. We're leading you up to Red Raider Baseball against Stanford Cardinal here in just a moment. I said, hey, Gus, what's going on? I take you to Minnesota, okay, for today's story. Cops in Minnesota got a report last Tuesday of an elderly man walking down the side of the road with a shotgun. So this is a pretty intense call to get, okay? I mean, you could only think of the different things that this could be leading to or have been built up from, right? No bueno if you are a cop getting this call. The person who called it in said that he seemed suspicious because the guy tried to hide the gun as they drove by. So an officer went to check it out. Eventually, found a man who fit the description, but he did not have a shotgun. This is the ultimate be who you are, bro. If you're going to commit, might as well do it. Have a little fun in life. Who cares? Story. Turns out he was just getting his daily walk in. Ugh. Okay? Just getting his daily walk in. He had a walking stick with him that he uses. But why did he try to hide it? I know this is the question you're asking. It's about to roll right off the tip of your tongue. He told the cop that he likes listening to music on his walks and eventually admitted he was playing air guitar on his stick when they walked by and then got embarrassed and hit it down by the leg. His knee-jerk reaction was to whoosh, hide the stick. And that seemed suspicious to the person who called it in.
Yeah.
He did not say of who he was listening to. I like to think Van Halen.
Hey, I was going to say, it's got to be Van Halen, man.
I have a question, though. I mean,
there's plenty. There's lots of options there, but a good air guitar band is definitely Van Halen.
Oh, man. I get if, this person's rocking out while you're driving and all of a sudden hides the walking stick. That's a pretty aggressive jump, though, to go, he's walking with a shotgun. Like, I have questions of the person who saw the stick and called in shotgun. But, hey, that's why if you're going to play air guitar, you look the person in the eyes when they walk up. Especially if you're, like, in a car. Maybe they'll join you. Maybe they'll be like, hey, you need a bassist to that air guitar, pal? You need an air drummer? I can keep the air beat. Then you, there you go. Lifelong friend that you'll never see again. Texas Tech taking on Stanford tonight. Again, I mentioned the RPI for them. Not great. The other side, you also have Houston in Big 12 play, where you mark, you know, your concern of, is this a team that can find its way into postseason play? Can you be one of the, you know, three or five, whatever Big 12 schools it ends up being? I mean, what can you give up at all this week? Because these are not the teams you need to be dropping games against.
That's right. And I mean, again, it's a conversation we had about basketball 2 years ago where Dickens and I would sit in here and go, well, one thing you got is ahead of you, you've got a lot of opportunities, mm-hmm. but that's also to say that behind you are the teams you really wish you'd have beaten. Mm-hmm. This, you know, now you have to run around brooming them up and sweeping them, yeah, but just – don't have series losses to the teams below you in the standings. The reason why we're all down there together, Houston at 62, There's West Virginia at 59, but there's games with TCU, Oklahoma State, OU ahead. There's nine games against tournament teams there. Throw in two games with Arkansas, there's 11 games. Now, have we done anywhere close to what we need to do to beat those people? You know, and like the level of play is going to have to step up, right?
It's one thing to have the opportunity, but it's the other one to like sit here confidently sure. go, can you actually beat right. them? Because having the opportunity doesn't mean anything if you're not gonna beat them.
Right, and three road games in Lawrence. That's number 61 there. And so, you know, just about everything of big import. And again, you don't set up a home and home with Stanford in 2022 and expect them to be down there at 183.
Yeah, that was just not like a scheduling mishap. It's just an unfortunate part of
the way it goes.
Messing around the RPI and scheduling ahead of time.
Exactly. The missed opportunities to beat an Oregon State or somebody like that, but you know that's less of a missed opportunity and that more of a just losing to a Omaha team,
really good
a contender,
spot. Yeah.
Yeah, and so
a contender.
The opportunity is there, but this is also the talk of some teams that in the past. I'm not saying Texas Tech teams, but usually when you're doing what I'm doing, it's not a good sign because you know suddenly you're hoping that a light's going to come on or this behavior pattern here, this team that's done this over here is going to just hang a 180 and start doing that when. You know, best indicator of future performance is probably what, looking in the mirror. And so this team, needs to at 19-9 in the first half, there probably needs to be something pretty comparable to that in the second half, but it's going to be done against a way fatter schedule. I mean, if this team goes 19-9 and I haven't gone in game by game, but I'm just saying we've talked about halfway point, 19-9 in the second half, against both Oklahoma schools, TCU, West Virginia, Kansas, Houston, Arkansas. I mean, do you see Arkansas swept LSU this weekend? You know, and that's another painful thing when you think about this roster this year. When I get the what's wrong? Well, you know the two players that played here last year, they're playing at Arkansas right now. Don't help because there's a lot of your veteran presence, and those guys will be one and done guys at Arkansas and. You know, draft guys and stuff, but that's the top of your pitching staff. You know, that's a middle of the lineup hitter.
You can hear Gus on the ESPN Plus call here in just a little bit. Gus, go get us a win.
Yeah,
Or Sour Patch Kids, whichever one you want.
Hope so. Hopefully this is both. A fun opportunity to get Stanford on campus.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.